We shall now turn to Luke chapter 22, and you'll find our text for tonight in verses 19 and 20. Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. And he took bread and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Now next Sunday morning we hope to have communion in the church here. It's over a year since we last had communion in the congregation. The coronavirus and the government's way of handling it has had a huge impact on our lives and on our churches. Thankfully, bit by bit, we are hopefully returning to a measure of normality. Now, there are only two sacraments to be observed in the New Testament church: the sacrament of baptism and the Lord's Supper, both these instituted by Christ. And both are very important. The sacrament of baptism is the sacrament of initiation into the church. Water is used as a symbol of washing away sin. We need sin to be washed away if we are to have fellowship with God. And then we are baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into unity with God, into membership of the visible church. Baptized to be the disciples and the followers of Christ. That is our profession in baptism. Now, baptism itself, of course, will not make you a member of the true church. It makes you a member of the outward church. But alas, many baptized members of the outward church end up in a lost eternity. We need to be truly washed from our sins by the blood of Christ. We need to be truly united to Christ by faith. We need to be truly the followers of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as by the Spirit we are enabled more and more to live according to the teaching of God's law and God's gospel. The Word of God. So that's baptism, the sacrament of initiation, and it's very important. It should not be neglected. And here we have before us the other sacrament, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is in order to strengthen us, to confirm us in the faith, to be like a daily feeding upon Christ, to be an ongoing means of grace, reminding us of the centrality of the death of Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. And as we look back to Calvary, we are strengthened for the road we are on to heaven. There's a looking back in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to the finished work at Calvary, and there's a looking ahead to the second coming of Christ, who do show the Lord's death till he come. So tonight I would like us to think about the Lord's Supper and to seek to prepare ourselves for communion next Lord's Day. And I would like us to ask a few questions with regard to the Lord's Supper. First of all, who instituted the Lord's Supper? It's important to think about this. The Lord's Supper is not something that the minister and the congregation instituted, or the elders or the deacons, or some great preacher or theologian. It's not something invented by the Free Church Continuing, or the Church of Scotland, or the Catholic Church, or the Pope. It's not a tradition of man. The Lord's Supper is something that Christ gave us. And that puts it in a different category altogether. It's not a mere tradition. And it's not an invention of man. It's something that the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, gave to us to be practiced until he returns. The Salvation Army regards itself as a kind of church, but they don't keep the sacraments. They don't have baptism or the Lord's Supper. That's not right. And there are some Christians who are born again Christians, and yet they neglect the sacrament. There are some who think they're doing okay. They're managing quite well without ever going to the Lord's table. But is it right to despise the Lord's table? I can get to heaven without going to the Lord's table. Yes, you can. But should you despise what Christ has given us? But then maybe you're saying, well, it's not a matter of despising, but I don't think I'm good enough. Well, who is good enough? And if we think we're good enough, we're certainly not to come to the Lord's table, because we're obviously self-righteous hypocrites. The Lord's table is for unworthy sinners who trust in the worthiness of Christ. Maybe it is that somebody is saying, well, there's lots of folk who go to the Lord's table and they sin publicly, and they do this and they do that, and they're hypocrites, and I don't want to be like that. Well, it's easy to judge the Lord's people, and it's easy to put your finger on sins in their life. But that's not really a very good sign that you're a true Christian yourself, because the true Christian is more troubled and worried about his own sins, her own sins, than about the sins of others. And there are some, maybe, and their attitude towards the Lord's Supper is, well, yes, that's fine for the great Christians, but it's not for me. Well, if we are Christians, Christ has given to us this sacrament. Christ is the King. Christ is the Saviour. If we accept him as our Saviour and our King, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Secondly, what was the occasion of the Lord's Supper? It's good for us to think about that. When was it instituted? It's important for us to remember that for the Jews, days begin with sunset. For us in Britain, days are from midnight one day to midnight the next. But for the Jews, In biblical times, the day began with sunset, with the evening. The evening and the morning are the first day. You remember how it says that in Genesis chapter 1. The evening and the morning. So, the day on which the sacrament of the Lord's Supper was instituted was actually the very day on which Christ was crucified. The day that he died was the day it was instituted. It was the Passover, and Jesus directed his disciples to a certain place, an upper room, where they were to prepare for the Passover feast. Now, in the Old Testament, there were two sacraments, just as there is in the New Testament. There was Passover and there was circumcision. Circumcision was the sacrament of initiation. When a baby boy was 8 years of age, 8 days of age rather, he was circumcised. And that was him becoming a member of the Israel of God, the church of the Old Testament. It was a sign and seal of the righteousness that we have by faith. Not a mere outward sign. Yes, there were those outwardly circumcised with no inner grace, but it was meant to symbolize that inner grace and to be an encouragement to those growing up in Israel to seek circumcision of their hearts, not just of their bodies. It was initiation. And then there was the sacrament of Passover. And just like the Lord's Supper, Passover looks back and looks ahead. Passover looks back to the deliverance of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt, the salvation of Israel. You remember how the Israelites were in bondage and misery in Egypt, and God sent his plagues in order to set them free, to destroy the Egyptians who were holding them captive. And eventually, God sends his big plague on the Egyptians. But first he says to his people, you are to hold the Passover. And you are to take a lamb, and you are to kill that lamb, take its blood, sprinkle it upon the doorposts and lintel of your houses. And then, in the evening, you're to close the door, and you are to be in your houses, and you are to eat that lamb. So the lamb was to die as a sacrifice for the Israelites, a picture of Christ, who is our great Passover lamb. And they were to hide behind the blood of Christ, just as you and I claim the blood of Christ to protect us from the wrath of God. Because we have his blood by faith sprinkled on our hearts, the wrath of God will not destroy us. Those who have no blood of Christ sprinkled on the doors of their hearts, they will be destroyed when the wrath of God comes through the land. So the Israelites ate their Passover lamb. They were there protected. And every house which did not have the blood on it, the angel of destruction entered into that house and killed the firstborn. And there was grief and sorrow and crying throughout Egypt. But in the houses of the Israelites and all those who trusted in the blood, there was safety and protection. And God said to the Israelites, as they left the land of Egypt, God said to them, forevermore, every year, you are to remember what I did. The 14th day of the first month, you are to kill the Passover lamb and to eat it and to remember the deliverance. Looking back to deliverance from Egypt, but looking ahead also to our Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would die in our place. So there was Jesus, the Lamb of God, and he is celebrating Passover the very night he is due to die. And he eats that Passover with his disciples before he dies. And as they come to the end of the Passover meal, he celebrates communion. He gives to them the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper was to be a perpetuation, as it were, of the Passover. The New Testament equivalent. A bloodless sacrifice in that sense, although not really a sacrifice. Sacrament, yes. At the end of the Passover meal, the Lord Jesus takes the bread and the wine and gives it to his disciples. And he says to them, they are to do this in remembrance of him. And that very day, he died as the Passover lamb. His body was broken and his blood was shed. Why remember Christ? This do in remembrance of me. Why? Because there's nothing more important for us. Absolutely nothing that we should remember more. This was something enormous. The greatest thing that ever happened. The most amazing thing that ever took place. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. How wonderful that God became a man. And how incredible that God should die. That the judge should die for the criminal. And that is exactly what happened. Do this in remembrance of me. Because here you have the greatest crime that was ever committed. The murdering of the Son of God. And the greatest crime that was ever committed is the greatest saving act that was ever performed. Every single man, woman, boy and girl who gets to heaven because Jesus died on the cross. That is the reason and the only reason. The way to heaven is through the broken body and shed blood of Christ and nothing else. He took our sins upon himself. He took our place. He suffered in our room instead. He endured our hell to give us heaven. He came, he suffered, and he died. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. He endured the divine wrath, the justice of an infinitely holy God upon himself as he bore our sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Do you want to remember that? Is it something important to you? Well, if it's not, you shouldn't be at the Lord's table. But if it's the all-important thing to you, then of course your place is there. There's nothing more important that ever happened for the Christian. And in a sense, there's nothing more that ever happened for the wicked. Because hell is 1,000 times hotter. Because Jesus died on the cross. Because the way of salvation was opened. And because men and women who neglect so great salvation will surely suffer far, far more. Because they not only sinned in breaking the commandments, but they sinned in walking to hell, trampling over the body of Christ. Who should take communion? Communion is not for everyone. Jesus didn't die for everyone, and not everyone is saved. Jesus didn't invite the multitude to take communion. Communion was for his people, for those who trust in him, for his disciples, his followers. And so we find Jesus sitting down with the 12. It was for those who put their faith in him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's for those who are thankful, rejoicing, praising God that Jesus died for them. Their sins are washed away, and they want to do this in remembrance of him. He loved me and he gave himself for me. And that is the confession that God's people make when they come to the Lord's table. Now, of course, the Lord's table is never a perfect division, as it were. There's a separation made between those at the table and those who are not there. And we can see from Luke's gospel here that he sat down with Judas as well as with the rest. He sat with the 12. So Judas was at the Lord's table. And yes, it is possible, and it does indeed happen, that sometimes those who are not true Christians are at the Lord's table. They get no benefit from it. But what we must remember too is that it's not the unforgivable sin. There's many a testimony of Christians, people like Thomas Chalmers, the great preacher of the 19th century, who for many years was taking communion before he was converted. So it's not the unforgivable sin, but the Lord's table is for Christians, and it's for those who believe in Jesus and trust in him. So if you claim that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you should come to the Lord's table. If you have no faith in him as your Savior, then obviously your place is not at the Lord's table. And if you have no faith in him as your Savior, you're in a very dangerous condition, because if you die the way you are, you're not fit for heaven, and you won't get to heaven. So if you're not fit for heaven, you're not fit for the Lord's table. But if you are fit for heaven, then your place is at the Lord's table. It's for those who trust in Christ. Those who are saved by faith in him. Those who claim forgiveness for their sins because they receive and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as he is offered to them in the gospel. So communion is for the Lord's people who trust in him. How are we then to remember him and to observe the Lord's Supper? Well, Jesus here lays down the essentials for us. the particulars and practicalities of the way the Lord's Supper is celebrated is left to church leaders, to the elders and ministers. But the essentials are set before us here. Jesus took bread, just ordinary bread. In this case, it would be unleavened bread because it was the feast of unleavened bread and no leaven was around at the time of the Passover. Leaven had to be purged out of their houses. But that's not something important. It's not stressed. It doesn't say in the scriptures that Jesus took unleavened bread. It just says that he took bread. Bread. Yes, common bread. Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. The bread symbolizes his body. He took bread and he gave thanks. And that stresses the importance of prayer. In everything we do, we are to pray. As we come to the Lord's table, we're to pray. We're to pray for his blessing. We're to give thanks for Jesus, our Savior. And we're to give thanks for the sacrament that reminds us of Jesus. Give thanks for the bread and for the wine. So we see the place of prayer. He gave thanks. And then he broke it and gave it to the disciples. And so the bread is broken. The bread is broken, symbolizing the breaking of Christ on the cross. And then there are the words of institution. This is my body given for you. This bread is my body given for you. Well, it wasn't actually his body, as the Roman Catholics say. It didn't miraculously become his body because his body was complete in front of them. But it's a picture of his body, a symbol. What we have here is symbolism. And so, this is my body. This is to remind you of my body. This is a picture and a symbol of my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. As you take this bread and eat it, remember me. Remember my body being broken. Remember me hanging on the cross there. Remember me suffering in your place. Remember me carrying your sin. Remember me enduring the wrath and curse of God for you. Remember in faith. And then Jesus took the cup of wine. And so we take a cup of wine. And Jesus used the words of institution. This is my blood shed for you. Again, not literally blood. And it didn't change into blood as the Roman Catholics claim. It was still just wine. It smelled, it tasted of wine, but just wine. But it's a picture. This is my blood. Think of my blood. Remember my blood. As it were, drink my blood. Drinking my sufferings, my death, claiming it by faith for yourself, feeding upon it by faith. Do this in remembrance of me, observing the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. A further question, when is the Lord's Supper to be observed? Now, it doesn't say in the Bible that it should be observed every Sabbath, as some churches practice. Neither does it say it's to be observed just once a year, like the Passover, and as some churches observe also. All Jesus says here is, do this in remembrance of me. And you go to 1 Corinthians 11 and it says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Do it as often as you feel it's profitable. As often as the leaders of the church feel it would be edifying and beneficial. And as often as you do it in remembrance of me. We are to observe it from time to time. Not so often that it becomes a meaningless ritual. But another question. Are there not dangers? Is there not the danger that we do it unworthily? Is there not a warning given in 1 Corinthians 11? Those that eat and drink unworthily eat and drink damnation to themselves. That's very serious. No one wants to be damned. Why is this warning given? It was given because the church at Corinth was very negligent and really were treating the Lord's Supper in a terrible way. It was observed in a way that completely undermined the Lord's Supper. First of all, there were divisions among them, and some of them wouldn't talk to one another. It's an awful thing if Christians won't talk to one another and won't relate to one another, and if they're despising each other, that's not right at all. It cannot be right. Whatever separates us as Christians, whatever quarrels we have to get over it. We can't keep it up. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We must forgive everyone. We mustn't hold resentment in our hearts towards any. If you come to the altar and there remember that your brother has ought against you, leave there your gift before the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. There's Jesus teaching us how we are to seek reconciliation with all and to have no resentment in our hearts towards any. So there were these divisions. And then there were some people, and they were treating it as a kind of time for a party. And they were bringing along lots of food. And some were feasting. And Paul says, if you're hungry, eat at home. This is not a feast or a party. And there were even some who were drunk at the Lord's table. Can you imagine that? Drunk. It's always wrong to be drunk. The Bible says, no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God. We must never be drunk. But some were drunk. And then there were some who were poor and they had nothing to eat. And they were there, wanting to be part of it. Some were feasting and others had nothing to eat. It was just a mess. And so Paul says, beware. Beware lest by eating and drinking unworthily, in an unworthy manner, in a careless, thoughtless manner, you eat and drink judgment. The word damnation there means judgment and condemnation for yourself. Now, of course, every sin will condemn us. And the least sin will bring judgment upon us. And we must seek to avoid every sin. But it's wrong to have a special terror of the Lord's Supper because of this verse. It was never meant like that. It was meant to correct a terrible abuse which was going on in the church at Corinth. And so the apostle says, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat. Note that. It doesn't say let a man examine himself and stay away from the Lord's table. It says let a man examine himself and so let him eat. Examine your motives. Examine your bad feelings towards others and repent of it. Examine your carelessness and thoughtlessness and ask for forgiveness for these things and come worthily, in a proper manner, trusting in Christ and looking to Him and remembering His death, not in a flippant party sense, but in serious remembering the Lord's death till He come. That leads to another question. What should the doubtful and fearful Christian do? Should they just stay away? No, they shouldn't. Because if we are looking to Christ, the larger catechism says that so clearly, that if we are looking to Christ and trusting in Him, then we should come, because the Lord's table is actually specially beneficial for those who are weak. It's an encouragement. It's a strengthening. It helps our faith. We believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to the full enjoying, unto salvation, to the full enjoying of salvation. So as long as we're looking to Christ as our Savior, as long as we're wanting to remember Him, then we are to come to the Lord's table. As long as we claim Christ as our Savior, we are to come to the table. And coming to the table, we will discover that it will be a real blessing to us. It's a means of grace, a means whereby God's grace flows into our hearts and our lives. We need grace. We need grace every day. We need grace for the Christian life, to run the race and to fight the fight. And one of the ways whereby grace comes into our lives is through the Lord's Supper. It's there to make us stronger. Our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That's His command. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank Thee that Thou hast given to us this sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We thank Thee that it has been a blessing to us in times gone by, and we pray that it would continue to be a blessing to us. And that Thou wouldst help us to come, if we are spared, joyfully, seriously, to the Lord's table next Sabbath morning, and to enjoy this sacrament, to feed upon Christ by faith, eating that little morsel of bread, drinking that mouthful of wine, but eating Christ, drinking Christ, strengthened through Him for the Christian life. We pray for Thy blessing to be upon those who are weak and fearful and frightened, and pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst help them to overcome their doubts and to commit their lives to Christ and to trust in Him, and giving their hearts and their lives to Christ, not halting between two opinions, but committing themselves to Him, to come to the Lord's table rejoicing in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So bless us, Lord, each one, pardoning us our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.